Hey there, you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk SWCDs and OSU Small Farm Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley. I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we're talking with Sue Reams, soil conservationist from the Natural Resources Conservation Service in Polk County. After 30 years with NRCS, Sue is about to retire. She has been a passionate and tireless conservationist for Polk County, and I didn't want to miss this opportunity to share Sue's work with our listeners. We will talk about conservation planning, soil science, and her experience in the field. I'm honored to share her with everyone today on the podcast. So a big welcome to you, Sue.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I'd like to begin with a little intro. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, where you're from, or your educational background, certifications you hold, and what drove you to dedicate your career to natural resource conservation?
Well, I was born in Illinois, and I went to high school in California. And after high school, I worked for 3 years for two farmers in Western Washington. And those were my first jobs in agriculture. Then I attended Central Oregon Community College for 2 years and Oregon State University for 2 years. I chose to major in soil science because I wanted a degree in agriculture and I had good grades in chemistry. I worked as a soil scientist for the Soil Conservation Service for 10 years on the soil survey. And I worked in Douglas County and Elko County and a little bit in Marion and Benton County. But my interest in conservation came when my position changed from soil scientist to soil conservationist in 2002 when I came to the Dallas field office.
We've been really lucky to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. NRCS and Polk SWCD share the same space. And so we met in the office and crossed paths daily. But not only do our organizations share a space, we share similar goals. Could you share with our listeners how NRCS and SWCDs work together?
Yes, I can. The Soil and Water Conservation Districts are a special type of district that is located in every county in the U.S. Their responsibilities are of staying aware of local problems with natural resources. They are the group that has invited us, the NRCS, to come into their county to conduct soil surveys and to bring funding into our county to help solve natural resource problems. The funding comes from the Farm Bill that is created by Congress every 4 or 5 years. And in Polk County, the Soil and Water Conservation District and NRCS work together as partners. The district may work with a lot of different funds to help people, and some of the funds are from the NRCS. But the NRCS only works with federal funding from the Farm Bill. So we work on natural resource problems that the district has determined to be a priority, and this is called locally led conservation.
So after 30 years, you must have some points in your career that really stand out. Can you tell us about some of your more memorable field experiences or projects?
Since 2008, we are working on more forestry projects than we used to. Reducing fire danger on forest land and restoring oak habitat are the two highest priorities in Polk County right now. Prior to that, we worked on reducing water pollution from agricultural land, and also we helped with improving irrigation efficiency on agricultural land. For memorable field experiences, I have had many, many experiences. Every landowner that I've met has been a memorable experience. There are some that are more memorable than others. Getting chased by cows, that happens a lot. One time I crossed a creek, and I'm not going to say where. The creek was entirely made up of petrified wood, the creek bed.
Wow.
So I filled my field vest up with rocks, but I could barely walk. And then the saddest thing that ever happened on the job was I went to a farm to get permission to map soils on their farm. And they had just lost their son to a forest fire. Mm. And that was probably the saddest day I had on the job. But the most memorable projects have been thinning and removing brush from a crowded forest to create a healthy forest. It is the most unbelievable thing that anyone could see. And it never fails to amaze me that that work could create a forest that will grow faster and healthier. That's probably my most that's my most favorite type of project.
And can you tell us about conservation planning and what that entails?
Yes, I can. Conservation planning starts when a landowner calls us or the conservation district and calls and says they have a problem on their land. So one of our agencies go to visit the landowner, and we listen to them and ask them to tell us what's going on. If they want our help, then we ask them to write their short and long-term goals. With their help, the next thing we try to do is inventory the land. We want to quantify what is causing the problem. And then we analyze that inventory. And the next step after that is that we recommend different alternatives to the landowner. Usually we'll come up with a really inexpensive way to solve the problem. We might come up with another alternative that will be more expensive. And then we try to find one that's cost moderately in between those two. And we always list the pros and cons for each alternative. And the landowner then decides which alternative is best for them and their operation. By this point in the process, we've discussed whether federal funding or state funding is available to solve their problem. And at that point, they can apply for our programs.
And what are some of the programs that you've worked on recently?
The most popular program that we work with is EQIP, which means Environmental Quality Incentives Program. And it's a great fund. People have to apply and then compete with each other. And if you rank high enough, you will be awarded a contract. And then we and the landowner come up with an agreeable schedule and which conservation practices are going to be needed to solve the problem. So that is the most popular fund that we have.
And how would you rank a landowner?
We rank them on the environmental benefit that this project's going to give. And we also rank on efficiency of cost. And we rank everyone equally and fairly, and then the top scoring person gets offered a contract.
And personally, I don't own a lot of land. I just have a small home and a third of an acre. What could someone like me do to make a difference in conserving natural resources in their own backyard?
Well, there's an effort that's called Backyard Conservation that the NRCS has supported for many years. And it's a really worthwhile goal for many people. Planting trees for local birds or small mammals, creating a planting that would benefit pollinators for the full season is a very good project. Bird feeders in the winter and water sources in the summer are also really good. Pollinators require feed from early spring to late fall. The most common plants that we have in our area are usually just in the spring. It's hard to find the later season pollinating plants. And anyone can purchase them and put them in their yard, and they're actually beautiful. So that is one way that a urban landowner could conserve natural resources on their land.
Thank you for that, Sue. And just a quick update, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Sue Reams, soil conservationist with NRCS in Polk County, and you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. Soil science is one of your areas of expertise. Can you tell us about the soil in this area?
I'd be happy to. We have a great variety of soils in Polk County, and it's very typical for the Willamette Valley also. Along the Willamette River, we have sandy and cobbly soils. If you move slightly higher in the landscape, we have loamy and silt loam soils on our floodplains and terraces. And these soils are usually excellent for farming. On another higher terrace, we have soils that are called white land by some of the farmers. And this is a silt loam on top of a heavy clay. And these soils were formed by flooding a long time ago in the valley, and they're very tricky to farm. On margins of the valley are rolling hills with alluvial fans that formed between them. And some of these soils are good, such as the Jory soil, which is our state soil. But some of the soils have silt loam over clay, and those soils are known as the Hazelair, Helmick, and the Suver soils. These soils act wet in the winter, and they act droughty in the summer, so they can be a challenge. They were probably originally oak woodlands or savannas, and they make excellent grazing land if they're not grazed when wet. They also make excellent small grain cropping if the soils are not too steep. The highest elevation soils are the soils that are formed in coniferous forest, and those are in the Coast Range. And that is where most of the forest land is still located. These soils are very high in organic matter, and they have good water holding capacity. The temperatures are moderated by the ocean and coolness from their elevation.
So Oregon State's soil is Jory soil.
Yes.
Wow. Does every state have their own soil?
Yes, we do. Every state does. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it increases awareness. School children study about their soils, and then they'll learn what is soil and why do we care about soil. And it's not just something that's on the bottom of your shoes.
So why do we care about soil, Sue?
Healthy soil is the basis for agriculture, clean water, and there's an emphasis now currently on healthy soil. Well, a healthy soil usually has organic matter that's pretty high. Our low elevations here in the Coast Range, organic matter is higher, and that's because of the coolness of the temperatures. A healthy soil also has good native soil structure. And structure is something that's formed by microbes and fungi in the soil and roots. The roots create openings, and the microbes and the fungi create sticky substances that build the soil blocks. Topsoil structure is usually crumbly, and it may look like granola, chunks of broken up cake. That's the natural structure of the topsoil. It can also look like crumb. It can also have a crumb look like a grape nuts. So forgive me for comparing this all to food, but anyway, and then down deeper in the soil can become blocky, and that also is formed by microbes and fungi, and they almost look like baby blocks in some cases. Some soils in eastern Oregon are platy, but good soil, good native soil structure is part of a healthy soil. What can cause soil to be unhealthy is frequent tillage can break organic matter down. That can be countered with cover cropping and reduced tillage. What can be done to increase the health of the soil is to avoid leaving the soil bare for a long period of time. Roots, earthworms, microbes, and fungi should be encouraged. Diversify what you do on the land. Have a crop rotation, or in your garden, rotate your garden crop. And then I think the most important thing is don't use the soil beyond what it's capable of. There's a system that the USDA uses called the capability class. And class one soils are very versatile and useful for agriculture. A class eight soil would be the worst soil you could imagine, very, very shallow on a steep, rocky slope. And that soil would obviously not be suited to agriculture. And in between class one and class eight are all different types of soils. And those classifications were created to help people understand the capability of what a soil can do, because there are some soils that cannot do what a landowner may want. These are all really good reasons and good ways to keep the soil healthy.
So if I wanted to find out about the status of my soil and how healthy or unhealthy it is, what could I do?
The first thing you should do is try to determine what soil is on your land. And you can do that by going on the internet and looking up the Web Soil Survey. You can also, there are apps on smartphones for this that serve the same purpose. One of them is called SoilWeb. And so learning what your soils are on your land, what the native vegetation was originally, can help you understand what the capability of that land is.
So do you have advice for anyone just getting their career started in conservation?
I would recommend that anyone who's in conservation should know more about soil science. Either take a class, read a book, or the best thing would be to go out in the field with another soil scientist and have them share representative locations with you to show what the soil layers look like, what the native structure looks like, and what plants are grown there. That would be, I think, the best thing, because to help people with conservation, you have to be able to read the landscape. Are you in the floodplain? Are you on a summit of a hill? Are you on a alluvial fan? You need to know where you are and whether these places are going to be wet or droughty. And the best way to do that is just to learn the soils in your area as best as you can.
And what is your hope for conservation efforts going forward as we're starting a new year and everyone has new goals?
Well, I would say that conservation will never complete its job. There will always be new problems occurring. I would say that people should, again, learn how to learn their soils, learn what the soil is capable of, and know what it cannot do. And also stay in touch with their local soil and water conservation district so they can continue to learn new things. They offer classes, a wide variety of classes, and they also have native plant sales. They have staff that can help with field visits. It's a great way to continue to improve the land and to also benefit for agricultural income. But the main reason that the district is here is to educate people about what our soils are and what they're capable of doing.
This question is a question that my predecessor, Jenny Amon, asked people that she interviewed, and I'd like to keep this tradition going. What is your favorite natural space to explore in Oregon and your favorite Oregon critter?
There are so many beautiful places in this state. Every county has its own natural beauty and its own special spots that not very many people go to, but I would have to say in all of the state, Eastern Oregon, Northeast Oregon is for me the most beautiful, mostly because of its vastness and its quietness. The people are very kind there. And another thing is, in Eastern Oregon, there are no plants covering the soil. So you can see the entire landscape very easily. In Western Oregon, there's trees growing everywhere, so it's really hard to see what the land is like. My favorite critter? Probably any bird. They're amazing creatures, and I never fail to be entertained by them.
And so how did the birds on your land react to all this snow?
Well, they usually come to the feeder looking for something to eat, because once snow is covered, the ground there, they get limited on what they can feed.
And so today is your last day, right?
It is, yes.
Oh, it's a privilege to be here with you and share this time with you.
Thank you.
But I'm wondering, what are your plans for retirement?
Well, I'm going to volunteer in the office. I'm going to help my elderly parents, and I'm going to babysit my grandson.
Oh, so do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would say, again, learning about the soils in your area is the most important thing that you can do. And the information is available on the internet, or the conservation districts and the NRCS together. And we like to talk to people if they are new to owning land outside of town. We would like to talk to them first, to talk to them about what their goals are long term, and whether what they want to do fits the piece of land that they have.
So if there are any new landowners out there, please feel free to reach out to us. Well, Sue, it's a privilege. On behalf of all your colleagues, past and present, I want to thank you for all you've done for the landowners and the conservation of natural resources in Polk County. We wish you a wonderful retirement.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Sue Reams, soil conservationist with NRCS, about reflections on her career. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on these topics, please visit our website, polkswcd.com, and our Facebook page for follow-up information and resources. NRCS and Polk SWCD are once again asking for your participation and input about local resource concerns. Local work group meetings are a valuable part of our planning process, providing an opportunity for local land managers and colleagues to be part of a collaborative effort to improve natural resources within our county. The information you provide in this process will help all of us work towards a stronger, healthier, and more economically viable community and agricultural industry. We will be hosting a Zoom meeting on January 28th from 9 to 10:45 a.m. If you would like to register for this Zoom meeting, go to polkswcd.com, click on the Get Involved tab, and then District and Community Events. If you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesdays every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thank you for listening and your light shining.